Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, Alan. Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to RDS Who Is Two plenary call number 42 on November 26, 2018 at 1500 UTC. Attending the call today, Alan, Lily, Dimitri, Stephanie, Susan, Catherine, and Carlton. From ICANN.org is Jean-Baptiste, Jackie, and Brenda. We have no observers at this time. We do have an apology from Chris. I'd like to remind everyone today's call is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking, and I'll turn the call over to Alan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And are there any statements of interest that need to change? I see no hands, no voices. We'll assume not. And the first item on our agenda is a review of the face-to-face meeting, and I'll turn it over to Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I just wanted to mention that Volker just joined the call.
Excellent.
So regarding the fourth face-to-face meeting, the agreed meeting objectives were the following. First one is to consider the results of public comments, determine any corresponding changes, and finalize your recommendation. The second one is to mark up the draft report where substantial changes are needed. Based on these two meeting objectives, we would like to present the draft agenda that was prepared in anticipation of your fourth face-to-face meeting. So this agenda was also shared via email with the invitation for this call. So what we did is to, and I unsync so that you can scroll as you wish. So what we did is that we mirrored the current structure of the draft report and looked at the different public comments that were submitted and tried to report as much time as needed per section of the report where substantial changes are still needed. So if we start with day one, so the same as for previous face-to-face meetings, they would start with a breakfast served between 8:30 and 9. On the first day, there will be a welcome where there would be a roll call, called for statement of interest updates, housekeeping, opening remarks from leadership, and go through the current work plan of the review team. Then there would be from ICANN.org an overview of the draft report where changes are identified as needed. And also a discussion on anything new in RDS environment that may require additional thoughts. If you recall, that was a discussion that was open on the last January call. And after that, so the review of each section of the report would start. So starting with a strategic priority for 40 minutes. After the break, single who is policy, that would be a 30-minute discussion. Then outreach with a 45-minute discussion, compliance for 1 hour 30 minutes, continuing after the lunch break for another 30 minutes, followed by the sixth objective, contractual compliance action structures and processes for 1 hour 40 minutes. And in the end of the afternoon after the break, data accuracy for 1 hour, privacy proxy services for 45 minutes, and finally, the wrap-up from the review leadership. So for each section of the report, that would be an occasion to consider the different public comments received and updates needed based on those, confirm whether there is further drafting needed, and confirm, remove, or add recommendations. At the end of your first day, there will be a review dinner, and I would like you to remember to send to Brenda before the end of the day on Wednesday to send your choices for the dinner. And I would ask you, Brenda, maybe to just resend the email in case some of your committee members have not received it. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
On the second day, again, they will start with a breakfast and a welcome from the committee leadership and ICANN.org. And again, We'll follow the draft report section, starting with command interface for 50 minutes, IDNs for 30 minutes. After the morning break, we will go through plan and annual reports for 1 hour, then anything new for 45 minutes. After the lunch break, it will be law enforcement needs for 2 hours, considering there were several public comments on that section. And after the afternoon break, there will still be time for discussion on consumer trust for 1 hour and 30 minutes. And finally, the wrap-up from the revision leadership. And finally, on day three, again, same structure, breakfast, then welcome, and 1 hour to go through safeguarding registrant data, 45 minutes to go through the ICANN bylaw sections, then a parting note for any item that requires further discussion. And in the afternoon, have a look at the executive summary and what needs to be updated, and a discussion on whether the structure of the report needs to be adjusted, whether there are any sections that needs to be merged. And finally, at the end of your day, a call for a consensus on recommendations and a wrap-up of the face-to-face meeting. Any comments or questions?
Well, it's Alan. What we have done is try to, number one, allocate proportional time to the various items based on what we feel is the both the complexity and the number of comments and the amount of discussion we're likely to have. We've also tried to put the ones where we think we may have some significant drafting to do towards the beginning of the meeting, so you know there's a good chance we can redo the work and come to conclusions by the end. The number of comments we had was not very large, and therefore the 3 days may be overkill, or it may simply be an opportunity to do a really good job. So we're going to have to play it by ear. Any other comments on this? Seeing nothing, hearing nothing. Let's go on to the next. Oh, sorry, we have Volker. Please go ahead.
Yes, Alan, thank you. How much in advance will we be provided with the summary of the public comments? Because obviously, if we have to read through all the public comments and then decide whether they are worthy to change or not, then having an hour for each topic is probably not going to be enough.
Well, the public comments are available right now, and they're not, you know, there aren't that many of them, and they're not that long. But the summary will be done, I think, within days of today. We hope to have it ready for today, but we didn't quite make it. Jean-Baptiste, is that a reasonable expectation?
Thank you, Alan, for letting me reply. So, Volker, thank you for comments. Normally, we can still submit it until next Monday. However, I'm at some substantial progress. I still need to have this being shared internally just for a quick review, and then I'll be in a position to share it. So at the latest, I hope to be able to share it this Wednesday at the latest.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. And in any case, as I mentioned, there were 7 public comments submitted. Most of them are less than 4 pages, and they're available directly on the main wiki page. There is a direct link to the public comment page, so they are available there.
Yeah, when we scheduled this meeting, we hoped to have the summary ready. It isn't ready, but Jean-Baptiste has done some extra work for us, and we identified the 3 comments which Volker, do you have? Not Volker, sorry. Jean-Baptiste, is it easy to pull up the diagram, not the diagram, the chart you had of the 7 comments and what they and where their position was? I don't know if you have an updated version of that right now or not. I don't think it was inserted into today's agenda.
Thank you, Alan. What I can do, if you wish, is to just put on screen the public comment summary Excel that I'm working on, and this one is updated. Would that work?
Yeah, that should be fine. As you'll see in a moment, there were very few comments that had substantial comments to be made and specifically negative comments to be made. And in fact, there were only three of them that had a lot of such things. And what we've done for today is to start looking at those, and Jean-Baptiste has extracted the substance of the comments on a recommendation-by-recommendation basis so we can look at it and get a head start of the kind of discussion we're going to be having. So conceivably, by the end of the day, we would have done the bulk of the work. Clearly, that's not going to happen, and we don't have the whole group here, so we can't take formal decisions. But we'll start getting a feel for some of these things by the end of the day. And you can see, if you look at the chart right now, you'll see of the comments, there are not a lot where there were disagreements. There were three in particular where there was some really substance that we need to discuss. And one is NCSG, the other is the Domain Name Coalition, and the third is the, to a much lesser extent, the Registrar Stakeholder Group comment. Most of the others were either neutral or supporting or silent on significant numbers of the items. But, someone was trying to speak.
I just wondered, because I just looked at the comments page on the public comment page, and there are no public comments on the archive anymore. Have they been removed, or what happened to the original comments?
I hope they haven't. Let me take a look.
Yeah, let me take a look too.
Click on view comments, nothing appears. It's just the empty list of...
Hold on. That would be really interesting if that was the case.
Yeah. View comments.
I have to click through. Okay, I see it.
So you will see the fourth quarter 2018, then click on thread, and that will appear there.
Yeah, I see it now. Yep. Sorry.
Okay, good.
You scanned me for a bit.
Close to heart attack season if you tell me all the comments have disappeared.
Can you please send them again?
And please make sure you say the same thing.
Uh-huh.
No, they're all still there. Okay. Any more comments on the face-to-face before we go into the substantive discussion today on some of these comments? I see nothing, hear nothing. Then let us go to the next agenda item. And that is
Alan?
Yes, sorry.
Before we jump into the review of public comments received, I just wanted to raise one of the comments that were made from the non-commercial stakeholder group, but that's really on the draft report structure, and I was wondering whether we could talk about this really quickly now.
Yes, certainly. Please go
since
ahead.
We are starting to work on updating the report. So let me just... the NCSG asked, let me read it to be simpler. So what they say about the report is the following in the public comment. While there is a short list of terms in the appendix, we recommend for ease of reference that the first time an acronym is used, it be spelled out in its entirety. Given the length of this report, it would be a good idea to repeat this in each main section. An acronym list for easy reference would be helpful as Appendix A. Similarly, the presentation of the report was not as thoughtful as it could have been, with sentences continuing across pages where a page break could have added clarity, and the formatting not contributing to the report's legibility. The report could have also benefited from being proofread, as there were numerous typographical errors throughout. The naming and cross-referencing of recommendations from one review team to the other are somewhat confusing. For example, CM4, R1, R1.1, LE2, We suggest including a cross-reference index in the appendices and the executive summary, or to simply stick to the recommendation of the first review for numbering, not the subscenes.
I think most of those make complete sense, and I think we should consider them all as we're going forward. And I'm not sure, did everyone on this call meet Jackie Triber, our new editor?
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Jackie. Pleased to meet you.
You as well, Volker.
Maybe we should take a minute. Is there anyone except Volker who was not on the call last week? Maybe we want to take a minute to let Jackie give her intro spiel again.
Yeah, so I'm Jackie Triber, and I worked with IcannWiki for about 3 years, so I'm fairly familiar with the ICANN community. And I've been introduced to this project, and it's an assignment for me, and I'll hopefully be making this report a little clearer. I fully agree with the report needing some proofreading and general formatting corrections, and then I definitely think that we should focus on having a clear, full explanation or spelling out of the acronym that's used and trying to maintain that consistently throughout the report.
Thank you, Jackie. That's the one item that I thought we had done, and it's conceivable we missed one or missed many, but the spelling out of the acronym the first time was used, I thought was something that we had been pretty religious about, but the lack of a glossary defining them where you could flip to when you forget it by the time you get 100 pages later certainly is something that's worthwhile. And in terms of pagination and things like that, as you'll all recall, we were working really, really hard to get this report out without slipping another month, because we did slip a month from the from our original intention. And this time we've allowed a fair amount of time for final editing and review, so hopefully that will not be the case. And I think it was Volker, but it may have been someone else, who said that, and if indeed we have to slip a little bit more to make sure the quality of the report is up to what it needs to be, then so be it. But hopefully that won't be necessary. But I think we're all aware of the fact that the quality of the report in terms of readability and a lot of other things was certainly not up to my expectations and hopes, and we plan to do a lot better this time. It wasn't for lack of trying last time, but we just ran out of time, and we thought it was important to make the deadline of getting the report out so that it would be discussable over the next few months, including at the ICANN 63 meeting. So hopefully we will be in much better shape, and I think most of those comments, or all of the comments that the NCSG made, were quite valid. And I'm somewhat ashamed that they needed to be made, but I hope we'll do better this time.
I think overall there's consistency, especially with the acronyms. There's a couple slip-ups with GDPR, but like I said, I'll just fine-comb through it and make sure that all that's consistent. There's a few like capitalization inconsistencies as well, but I'll just make sure to correct those. So I think it'll be absolutely fine. Like I said earlier, put a laser focus on everything and make sure it's all consistent.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, it wasn't through lack of trying last time, but the fact that each of the sections was written completely independently and then we tried to merge, there was an awful lot that did have to change to try to be consistent, and we changed a lot of it. But clearly we didn't go as far as we should have, and this time we will do better.
Great.
All right, let us go on to the first item. As I said, there were three comments that had substantial things to discuss, and I thought we would try to look at a few of them here and try to get a feel for them. And actually, I'm going to start at the very last one. So Jean-Baptiste, if we can... Sorry.
No worries.
Do you still want to stay on the previous item?
I just wanted you to confirm that the face-to-face meeting agenda can now be considered approved and published on the wiki.
I does anyone here have any reason why it shouldn't be at this point? Obviously, it's still eligible for final changes, but I think at this point it's in good enough shape that it can be put onto the wiki unless anyone disagrees. And I hear nothing, so thank you, Jean-Baptiste, for reminding us of the little formalities. And yes, you can go ahead with that.
Thank you. And
all right.
Should we do last comment?
Yes,
yeah.
Last comment. This is on the bylaw one. Now, you remember what we did on this one is we had the bylaw requirement to look at to what extent we safeguard registrant data. We also had the requirement to consider the OECD guidelines. And what we decided to do is take out the two of them and replace them with a recommendation that the bylaw be adjusted to require require review teams to assess how well the RDS policy and practices address applicable data protection and cross-border data transfer regulations, laws, and best practices. We got a very negative comment from the Domain Name Rights Coalition and the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group, and in fact the Registrar Stakeholder Group, saying that we have forgotten that we're supposed to safeguard registrant data and consider that. And I know the intent when we wrote the words was we were trying to wrap both of the safeguard registrant data and the OECD guidelines into a more generic statement. But in doing so, we omitted the words safeguard registrant data. And that was a trigger that caused significant concern. I don't think it was an intent to not do it, but simply the wording we used did not capture those particular words, and the omission of them caused some problem. And in my mind, it's an easy thing to fix. We can reword it to make sure that those words are incorporated into it. But I just wanted to give you an example of one that I think was a very significant concern, but I think one that is easy to address. Not all of them will be that easy. But I don't know to what extent anyone else would like to comment on that, or if you've had a chance to read the specific comments. They're not very long, and I'll perhaps be quiet for a moment and see if anyone else wants to comment on this one. Volker, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I think the comments were right on the money. They pointed out the mistake that we made in omitting the reference to safeguarding registrant data. They send a very bad signal. So I think it's good that we had people that were looking at what we were doing very closely and found that mistake. So I'm very, very happy that we got the chance to correct this.
Yeah, thank you. I wouldn't have called it a mistake. I don't think we intended to omit the concept. We did omit the words, and no one mentioned it because the intent is still there. But clearly, omitting the words was an error, and that can be fixed. I don't think there was anything malicious in the error. It was just an omission of words that, interestingly, no one on our team noticed at the time. Stephanie. And you're muted, I believe.
There we go. Sorry, it took me a while to unmute. Stephanie Farron, for the record. Yes, I could live with the language we came up to, but I was quite stunned when I was approached with the concerns from the name rights whatever they're called, Kathy Kleiman's group. And had a difficult time persuading her that, in fact, that was not what we were doing. So if things are that unclear, we clearly have to fix them. I do think that possibly applicable best practices or whatever the phrasing is, it works for me it may not work for those who are not accepting the trans-border influence of data protection law. So losing safeguarding is a bad thing in that situation. So we need to shore that up. And it wasn't really clear that we were just aiming at the irrelevance of the OECD guidelines. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, stunned is actually was the word I would have used also if I had been awake enough right now to use it, because it really caught me by surprise. But I said it's an easy one to fix. I don't think there was anything malicious about it, but I'm glad you used that word, because it really was how it took me also. I can imagine why people might have objected to our change, but that wasn't the reason I was imagining. So it's, as I said, it's an easy one. Stephanie, is that a new hand? I'm guessing not. Okay, let's roll back and start at the beginning now. I just wanted to give it that one, because that one in some ways was one of the strongest comments we had and one of the easiest ones to fix. And if we can go to slide number 7. Now, this was a recommendation that we treat it as a strategic priority. The registrar stakeholder group said, if ICANN wants to be viewed as a global organization, then it's important that they monitor and consider legislation and policy worldwide and not be overly influenced by the U.S.-centric viewpoint. I think this is a statement that is largely in support of what we're saying, and I don't know whether we should put the last part of the sentence explicitly in, saying we shouldn't be we shouldn't be overly influenced. I certainly wouldn't use those words, but maybe making sure that our recommendation has a focus on global as opposed to, you know, either just Europe or just the U.S. Volker, any thoughts on this? Is this confirming, or does this really say we need to do something to make it clearer?
I think this is confirming the basic intent of what we're saying, and saying that in the past ICANN has pretty much ignored certain aspects of privacy law and other aspects that might be affecting our the world that we exist in the past. So that's something that should be looked at in a better way going forward, and that is, as you say, in a global way. So I think if we rephrase to make that more clear, then I think the RSG point will be taken into account without taking over their language, which may be objectionable in some points. If we,
okay, thank you. Any other comments on it, on the registrar? The NCSG said these recommendations hardly address the huge failure to address data protection that's taken place over the last 5 years, putting the organization at risk. With respect to this objective, NCSG has consistently pointed out that the requirement to comply with data protection law, it would suffice to listen to us and assign existing staff the task of researching matters we have raised and consulting key stakeholder groups. I'm not sure this says anything negative about the comment. It's just reinforcing that, you know, the statement that, for better or worse, we've heard many times before, that there were plenty of alerts and ICANN chose not to take action. I don't think there's any surprises there, but I don't think it's our job to rub it in any more than by repeating a recommendation which was made 5 years ago and that we're saying was not followed. Volker and Stephanie in that order.
I basically agree with you. It's just the first sentence seems to indicate that they would have hoped to have more in that regard, that our recommendations aren't going far enough. And I wonder if there's anything else in that comment that substantiates that and maybe makes a suggestion of what they would have liked to see, to have seen in our report. Because basically, I think we agree with them. They agree with us that there has been a failure of addressing this in the past, and they ICANN should do better. But they seem to think that our recommendations aren't going far enough. So, what are they looking for?
Yeah, I'm not sure a comment on failure to address ICANN failure to take action in 5 years is addressed by the recommendation. I mean, the existence of the recommendation says we believe there's a problem. The analysis said they didn't follow the recommendation the first time. So I'm not quite sure how we could change our recommendation, but Stephanie has her hand up, and I don't know to what extent Stephanie was involved in the drafting of these comments, but if you can bring any light to this, please go ahead.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record, I thought there was more in this comment about risk management, and I think one of the concerns is we don't really need ICANN setting up a new division that does long scanning. We need ICANN to listen to its own stakeholder processes, and answer its mail. Because from my perspective, the NCSG has been dragging the data commissioners into ICANN meetings for about a decade and a half, and B, the data commissioners have been writing, but ICANN has not taken it on board, which speaks more to the bias that I think is reflected in the registrar's comment than I don't think there was any sort of criticism of the U.S. bias in our NCSG comments, but I could be wrong. But I think this one little para, I thought that our comments went to the, you know, more systemic problem that we're not succeeding as a multi-stakeholder organization here. Not only is risk management not listening to the losing viewpoint, but they're also not doing regular risk management practices. I mean, it should not be up to the NCSG to be pounding on the door saying, hey, guys, the Europeans just passed a regulation that you're going to have to pay attention to. I mean, that was in all of the letters from the DPAs that we received since the time the regulation was being fought over in Brussels, so pre-2016. And then indeed afterwards. So, you know, it's more of a systemic problem. As I say, I don't think there was any indication of the bias, but I would support the registrar's comment that there is clearly a U.S. bias in the way ICANN reacts to these things. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. I see Jean-Baptiste's hand is up, but before I go to him, I charged Jean-Baptiste with creating these slides late on Friday. Because it was clear we were not going to have the summary ready by now, and I did want to have this kind of discussion starting today. So, you know, he put these slides together on very short notice with a requirement, among other things, that the size of the type be legible. So this is not necessarily the whole comment in each case. This is an extract to try to convey the idea. So certainly there's no intent to omit parts of the comments. We're just trying to get something manageable to work on today. Jean-Baptiste, did you have something to add?
Yes, and I will just repeat what you just said. I just wanted to confirm that what Stephanie has just mentioned is reported in the public comment summary. And the second thing I wanted to mention, Alan, in case you have not seen, there were several comments from Carlson in the chat. Including so to you, first one was bounce the rubble by adding a piece of the NCHG statement, then it is confirming and asking for emphasis, as in we told you. And finally, the analysis says we have been telling you this for years, so what we want to see is a reference to continuous risk assessment of global stakeholder concerns for value.
Thank you. And no, I admit I am not good at looking at the chat, so please someone bring it to my attention if I miss something.
I'll do.
All right. I'm not quite sure that in a recommendation to the board we should be at a level where we're specifying the level of detail that we're talking about here. It could well fit under the implementation guidelines of it, though. So I think we need to be careful. We are talking to the board, and ultimately they have to achieve an end. The exact mechanism is unclear. I also wonder, in this extent, to what extent the GAC has a responsibility of making sure that ICANN is responsible to their various governments. And I don't know if I want a discussion here of the role of the GAC, but I'm just wondering to what extent that's another part of the ICANN community that should be part of this process. But we'll have plenty of time in Brussels to discuss that. All right, next slide, please. And this one is R1.2, and here we're talking about the mechanism by which the board should make sure it monitors worldwide legislative action. And the registrar community supports the recommendation, but supports that updates be provided to the GNSO Council on a regular and timely manner. Interesting thought. Is that something that we should be asking, or is that something the GNSO Council should be asking? Certainly on the implementation, we can suggest it. I don't know if Volker has any thoughts on that. Look at the next one. Non-commercial stakeholders group recommendations hardly. Oh, that's the same comment, I believe. Anyone have any further discussion on this one? Again, we're going to be going out onto this in significant depth in Brussels, but I think both of these are supporting and perhaps asking for a little bit more fleshing out of potential implementations. And next item, then.
Volker,
please go ahead.
Yeah, I share your opinion, and I didn't write the Register Stakeholder Group comment, but it seems that the main intent here is to point out that policy development is a GNSO function, and therefore delegating it to the board might not be 100% correct, so having that the reference to the GNSO Council as the policy-making body that would be responsible for amending the policies in this place would be possibly beneficial for pointing
all
that
right.
out.
I have to think about how we word that. I mean, our recommendations go to the board. Our recommendations can advise the board to make recommendations to other parts of the group. And I believe that's how it's been handled in past times. And Carlton is saying, since the registrar stakeholder group is part of the GNSO Council, take their suggestion on board, extend coverage, the recommendation to the council as well. As I said, I don't think we're not writing to the GNSO Council, but we can ask the board to take such action. Next item. R3.1. All right, this is one on outreach. Registrar stakeholder group supported, however, the cost should not increase the ICANN budget. I'm not quite sure, Volker, how we can take that action, although I can't imagine that the kind of outreach we're talking about is anywhere near a significant number of the overall ICANN budget. So I look forward to you suggesting how we can incorporate that. Volker, go ahead, please.
I think this goes from this is not really a comment to the specific recommendation, but rather a general comment the stakeholder group has had for a long time, which is that ICANN has a tendency of throwing money at problems, so creating advisory groups or hiring outreach companies that do a bad job of doing the actual work, but do a good job of wasting ICANN's money. So that's something that we just feel. I think the ICANN board should be conscious of that. Basically, spend your money wisely. Do something that in a way that it actually works, but don't just throw money at the problem. To be able to say, look, we did something.
I don't think I can argue with that. Nor would I want to. The non-commercial stakeholder group is saying, basically, we don't need to do any outreach, and it certainly isn't high priority. I guess I object strenuously to that, given that we are going to be changing the WHOIS environment substantially. I believe that making sure that the documentation is up to date and making sure that we reach out so that the message is conveyed to people, to registrars, to registrants rather, telling them exactly how their data will be used or not, and to what extent it will be available or not available, and telling other people what paths are available, including perhaps to some groups of people how they can get access to selected data, I think is going to be exceedingly different, given that we're changing the dynamics so in such a large way. So I guess I would have a problem saying we shouldn't do any outreach. We should just be silent and let people figure it out for themselves. Stephanie.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think there's some confusion here, Alan. Who's we? This report is not going to be changing the WHOIS environment. The EPDP, or the results of that process, may change the WHOIS environment, and compliance with law will certainly change the environment, and there is a requirement under the law to do exactly what you're talking about, explain the rights to everybody, draft up contracts, new contracts that specify the processing and controller arrangements. All of that is a result of compliance with law. In my view, it's out of scope. So for us to have a recommendation for outreach means, under the terms of our reference, that we are recommending outreach for different purposes. And if so, what are they? I mean, as I say, I think that it's premature for this group to be saying there needs to be outreach. We have a whole lot of policy development that is going on under different auspices. So that's why this recommendation says drop it. Not within the remit of this group.
Stephanie, if I remember correctly, when I said we, it was not we who were changing the environment. The environment is changing for all the reasons you talked about. I believe this recommendation, either in the recommendation or in the implementation guidelines, explicitly say, don't do any of this until the dust settles, until we know what the new environment is that we're working with. And yes, I think mentioning the fact that much of this outreach is in fact mandated by law anyway, not necessarily all of it, but certainly a significant part of it is relevant. But the recommendation is clear that it doesn't get done until we understand what the new environment is. Stephanie, go ahead then. Unless that's an old hand.
Stephanie again. The thing is, the original recommendation for outreach was to make parties that were unaware of the existence of WHOIS aware of the existence of WHOIS, using the term WHOIS very loosely. The whole new regime that meets compliance with GDPR is going to be quite different. So, to me, very purpose of outreach changes. And it's certainly not explained here. It's as if we are beating the same dead horse that has been hanging around since Who Is One.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is not the original recommendation. This is our recommendation. And yes, the intent of this outreach may well be very different from the intent of the original outreach. To the extent that we need to make that clear, you know, that's why we're talking now, and that's why we're going to meet for 3 days in Brussels. But I, you know, the NCSG comment says don't do any outreach, and that doesn't seem to be the right answer to me. And that's really the substance of their comment. Jean-Baptiste, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I just wanted to mention the three comments in the chat, two from Carlton and one from Lily. From Carlton, directed to you, is that is to be rejected on its face. How can you fall for more outreach unless there is spending? Let's reinforce proposal by saying more about the planning and why spending of the funds. His second comment is directed to Stephanie. Exactly, compliance with law would require even more outreach. Folks need to know the whys and wherefores. And Lily commented that she agrees with you, Alan. The ones who commented on the draft report do not need the outreach. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we'll figure out how to satisfy both Carlton's and the registrar request to not spend a lot too much money. Clearly anything costs money. The question is to use it wisely. And as Stephanie pointed out, some of this is compliance with the law. Whether we like it or not, we are going to have to do certain types of education. Let's go ahead. How are we doing on time? We're still within the hour. 4.2. This is the one looking at contractual compliance and saying look for patterns. The registrar stakeholder group said I would like to understand how they can detect patterns. We already do audits, and it is unclear how this recommendation differs from current practice. The domain name Rights Coalition said it's a dangerous recommendation for registrants, which should be removed as untimely and beyond scope, or narrowed in express language to be more narrowly tailored intent of the Who Is RDS2. I'm not quite sure I understand that comment, but maybe the surrounding language makes it clearer. And NCSG says, given the RAA will be reviewed under GDPR, recommending holding off and implementing new expenses, i.e. audits, until the new workload of the compliance team has been determined. Breach disclosures, for instance, are a new requirement for both controllers and processors. Monitoring for unreported breaches might be a more worthy candidate for compliance action. My initial comments are on the registrar stakeholder comment. I tend to agree, and I think we're going to have to be a little bit more specific. Moreover, it's become a little bit clearer in some discussions that I've had over the last few months that although compliance, when we talked to them, said they do not do the kind of thing we're talking about, it would appear that, in fact, they do it. And they're already doing that kind of thing. And in that, from that point of view, it's not clear this recommendation is still needed. But if it is, we probably need to be clearer as to exactly what we're talking about. And I see Volker has his hand up. And I guess if Susan is in a position where she can talk, she may want to weigh in on this one. Volker, go ahead.
Yeah, I talked with a few people before this was drafted, and I think the main concern was that this could be read in a way that ICANN compliance is instructed to go on a fishing expedition going forward and start looking for data that they currently are not accessing, whereas our original intent was that they should look at the data that they have from the complaints that they have, and then see if there's something that can be looked at. If they don't look at these complaints on a one by one basis, but rather look at them on an aggregate basis. And yes, some of this is already done. We see some of that in our interaction at every ICANN meeting with compliance, but obviously that's not something that can be shown in data that they have made available so far. So maybe just tighten up the language a bit to make sure that this is intended to look at the data that they already have. And if you find that this is they're already doing this to your satisfaction, then we might consider removing this altogether.
Thank you. Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you. And it was again to read the comments in the chat. So there was one from Stephanie. But each party under the GDPR has to do its own transparency activity. At this point, it is not clear what role ICANN has decided to play. And then from Carlton, this recommendation was about predictive analysis and capturing more and better data over time. And that's it.
Okay.
This is Susan. Sorry, I seem to
go ahead.
Find the multitask and seem to have been booted out of Adobe. But, one of the points of that recommendation was that, especially not in every single, who is inaccuracy complaint, but if there is a known or commonly known issue and or suspicious behavior going on, that ICANN does take that another step and not going on a phishing expedition, but just using all of the information they already have to actually make an effective enforcement. So if we have a registry, for example, that is not following process or is known for lots of phishing type of domain names or something, and there's repeated reports of that, then it seems to me they should not do the one-off, that they should sort of look at it more of a, take a comprehensive look. So that's what we were trying to get at with that.
Thank you, Susan. Yeah, the intent certainly was to, if you see the same kind of complaint time and time again from the same registrar, then you should notice the pattern and not just treat the next one that comes in as another independent complaint that is not related to anything. But as I said, the indications I've gotten talking to people above Maggie is that they are in fact doing that. And I'm not sure to what extent compliance is simply reluctant to talk about doing things other than addressing complaints that come in as individual complaints. So I think this may be a perception of how they feel they want to be viewed. But that's pure supposition on my part. Volker, please go ahead.
Yes. One of my experiences when talking to compliance is also that they are very conscious of not appearing to be biased in any way against any single parties that would make maybe their actions against such a registrar attackable. However, they are always unofficially and through various methods trying to figure out if there's, for example, registrars that we feel are not doing things quite the way they should be. So there's official communications coming out of compliance of what they're doing, and there's certain unofficial methods of researching as well that they wouldn't feel comfortable being on the record, I guess, simply because it would make their efforts against such registrars attackable in the court of law, what have you. So there's by asking to put that on the record, we might even undermine the actual work that's going on at compliance.
Okay. I think we're going to have significant discussion on this in Brussels. Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you, Alan. I just wanted to read out loud Carlton's last comment, which was, if you look at the new compliance report, some of that is already happening. When you collect more of this kind of data that delivers these new results, you can begin making predictions.
Thank you. All right, let's go on to the next one, see what it has. Any thoughts on the answers for, we discussed the registrar comment, but not the Domain Name Rights Coalition or NCSG. Anyone want to do anything on this one right now or just defer it until we get to Brussels? Then let's go on to the next one. And this is a nice one on the accuracy reporting system. The registrar stakeholder group is of the opinion recommendation should address existing issues and that are evidenced by data instead of initiating phishing expeditions. They also note that they consider it highly doubtful the ARS program can be resumed under GDPR and the applicable privacy legislation as it requires ICANN accessing and processing non-public personal data for no valid reason. I guess my comment on that is, based on what happens out of the EPDP, there will either be, ICANN will either have some level of access, presumably for what is justified as a legal valid purpose, or it will not. That's completely out of our control. Non-commercial stakeholder group is the review team, is great job in compiling the work that ICANN has done in registered rights and responsibilities. This report will be a good resource document for those attempting to fix this problem. However, this very detailed section should remain a resource for the future work. We do not see the merit of developing new accuracy recommendations when the entire data set for publication is about to change. NCSG recommends removing this recommendation unless, as your footnote indicates, something arises which merits future action. My only comment on that is I'm not quite sure what the relevance is of talking about what data is available for publication, which is not necessarily the same as making sure the data is accurate whether it's published or not. Comments from anyone? Volker.
Yes, Alan. I think you also mentioned earlier on the list that you had during your talks with compliance also had a different perspective on these numbers. As I had already tried to indicate at our last face-to-face meeting, that there are certain time aspects that may cause these numbers. So. I always held the opinion that basically, while the number was very hard, a lot of this is explainable through simple deletions and updates that happen in the time between the ARS report is generated and ICANN compliance gets to deal with these complaints. But and based on that, we might even want to consider removing this recommendation.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the other recommendation, the one that says we should look for missing data.
No, but this is also, this is also a question of when you're saying that certain number of amounts of tickets are being closed, or when we are saying that in our reports, and we find that in most cases this happens because of the passage of time being the reason between the ARS and passing it on. So we see something as anomalous, and I think that's also reflected in the registrar stakeholder group comment when they say that this might be a phishing expedition. We see a number. We don't know exactly what it means. We assume it is either nefarious or at the least questionable, and therefore we need to find out why this number exists in this form, and that's what they are calling a phishing expedition.
Okay.
So basically that's the disconnect here.
Yeah, I think Susan and I have some homework to do and then reporting to the group what we found in our discussion with compliance, and this one may well substantially change because of that. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record, I think basically the NCSG is in agreement with the Registrar Stakeholder Group, although I haven't read their comment yet. I would just like to clarify that point about whether the accuracy reporting has anything to do with the public record. I think it does, because, of course, the data that is collected for the public record usually gets more focus than the data that is held with the registrar, because I think implicitly the registrant assumes they have a relationship with their registrar and they can freely change that data. I think there is a perception that the public data record is kind of glued there and made public among those who understand the public record. So I think it's important. Ditto, there will be so little in the public record. In other words, there may not be some of the data elements gathered. The jury's still out on that, literally. So, I mean, it just seems to me that a new review team can generate a new recommendation rather than paving the cow path, which is not an expression we use there, but it's a very common Canadian one that I trust you'll recognize. Thanks.
Actually, not one I've ever heard before. Jean-Baptiste, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Two comments from Carlson in the chat. First one is, I emphatically disagree. The need for keeping accurate data is recognized in privacy law. In fact, it allows the data subject to access and demand corrective action, so the data controller has the duty of care to see accurate data is curated. And second one is, accuracy of data is a proactive requirement for the data controller.
Thank you. That's an interesting question, Carlton. There is some debate going on whether the accuracy requirements rest solely on the registrant to make sure their data is correct and the requirement of the controller to change it if the data subject says it's incorrect, or if there is an obligation of the controller to take action if it becomes aware for other reasons that the data is incorrect. And I don't really want to have a debate here on which of those is correct, but it's a discussion that will be had. All right. Again, the ARS, I think, is something that we need to do some homework on and Volker says this data accuracy is a data subject right. My reading of it is that is the rationale for it there. But certainly the advice given by some data protection offices is that there is an obligation of the controller to act if they understand the data is incorrect. So not a discussion we can have here or should have here. Let's do one more, and then I'm going to perhaps end the meeting, one or two more, and then end the meeting, because I really have to be out of here a little before the end of the meeting. R11.1 is ICANN board should direct ICANN organization.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, just wanted to mention that there are another comment from Volker. The accuracy requirements of the controller extend to ensuring the data subject is enabled to review and correct its data, not to checking the data provided by the data subject and correcting it. Thank you.
As I said, I've read different opinions of that, but I don't think it's a debate we can have here. And if I'm wrong, I'm willing to be wrong. R11.1 is the ICANN board should direct the ICANN organization to define metrics or service level agreements to track and evaluate Oh, this is the who is portal, and that we should be monitoring that and taking action if it's not working properly. Registrar supports it, and NCSG says, given the flux of data returned in response to queries, perhaps divining metrics is a low priority at this point. Recommend dropping this one. Anyone have any comments? I don't believe we said this one was a high priority, did we? I can't remember that. I wouldn't have thought it's a very high priority one, but I would have thought it's something that should not be delayed too long. The Whois portal is defined as the definitive source of information for whatever information is available. And I'll point out that right now there is a lot of information still available for non-European registrations, but the portal does not provide that kind of information. Any further comments on this one? All right, next one then.
Alan, before we move on, I just wanted to mention that this one was a low priority.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought. And law enforcement. I don't know if I want to get into the debate here on law enforcement ones. Clearly, there's going to be a significant difference of opinion. And I think this one's going to need the whole group being there. So my inclination is to not to embark on this discussion right now, unless anyone feels compelled to. Jean-Baptiste, your hand is up again.
Yes, two comments. Alan supports what you just said, Alan, and on the previous recommendation, just after I spoke, Carlton submitted, it is correlated to data accuracy compliance, so IMHO, it takes the same priority.
Thank you. I think we need to work at getting Carlton a microphone of his own. And with that, if we're not doing law enforcement, the next law is the bylaw one, which we already did, and that brings an end to this. I think this gives a flavor for the kind of discussions we're going to have in Brussels. I think we're probably going to have some difficult discussions on a few of these. Overall, I think we will end up with a set of recommendations that will be significantly stronger than the ones that were in the draft report. One of the other items that I do want to mention is one of the things we need to do in Brussels, but it would be good if we could get a heads up ahead of time, is based on whatever has happened since we have done the draft report, are there any other things that we think may need us to work on recommendations? Although it is nice to have all recommendations aired in a draft report, there is no requirement or no prohibition for us adding a new recommendation that hasn't been seen before in a final report. But to the extent that we can get notice of it ahead of time, that would be really good. But we should all be thinking about to what extent we need to there are things that we did not consider for one reason or another, but are now more relevant and need to be aired. And with that, we're on any other business. And Jean-Baptiste, do we have any?
Not that I know.
All right. Anyone else have anything, any other business? Or if not, we will adjourn a little bit early. I see nothing. So, Jean-Baptiste, over to you for decisions and action items.
Thank you, Alan. So in terms of decisions reached, the face-to-face meeting agenda is approved for action items. So RealTeam members to confirm their menu choices before Wednesday 23:59 UTC. And I can also send a reminder. And then I can hope to act on NCSG comments on draft report clarity.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further comments before we break? Thank you, Carlton. Carlton said this is a good meeting. I thought it was interesting. Now, we do have any other business. Is there any reason we need to meet next week? Next week is our last possible meeting before the face-to-face. I don't think there is a need for a meeting next week. Does anyone believe strongly there should be? Or even weekly there should be? We have somebody typing. I could do without a meeting next week, says Volker. Carlton is typing, and I assume Carlton is saying the same thing.
Yes.
All right. I'm not quite sure about an 8-hour drive from Paris, but we'll ignore that for the moment. And Carlton will enlighten us when we get to Brussels. All right. Then I would suggest that we cancel next week's meeting. And
we'll do it then.
Perhaps we should have a leadership meeting the middle of next week, just in case anything comes up regarding planning for the face-to-face. Other than that, I think we do not need to meet until then. So we'll cancel this week's leadership meeting as well, I would think. Jean-Baptiste,
all right.
Unless you feel you need the meeting to discuss the analysis.
It can be done via email, I guess.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. We had a good turnout today, and look forward to talking to you and seeing you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.